2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 states this. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Praise God. I was debating what to preach this morning since Jean passed away on Monday, and she was a big part of our congregation. And with that, I was like, okay, do I keep doing the same sermon series that we've been doing, or should I do something a little bit different? I believe this would be Jean's mantra. I finished the race. So we're going to talk about finishing the race, because we're all in this race together. We're all moving forward. You ever finish something and you're like, yes, I'm done. Oh man, I get excited when I can check something off on my list that's been there for like months or maybe years. Hey honey, can you get this done? Yeah. Give me a few moments. Moments turn to days. Days turn to weeks, to months, and eventually you get there. But how exciting when you have this remodel project, maybe on your house, and you're like, oh, it's done, yes! Thank you, Jesus. I remember when we got our house upstairs remodeled, and we put a bathroom in. Oh, man, that was 3, 4, 5, well, I don't remember. It was long months. But when it was done, we're like, yes, it's done. Then we're like, well, not completely. Now you got to decorate it. Well, while we're at it, why don't we just redo the floors? You know, there's always something more. But here in our own life, once we pass away, we're done. But let's go back and look at verse 6, and we'll just look at these next few verses, because Paul is writing to a young man. Paul is writing to his understudy, to a disciple of his, and he's writing to him to say, hey, Timothy, my life, as for me, this is for me. You ever say, for me? I mean, this is what I choose. You can do something else, but see, when we die and when we stand before God, you know who you're accountable for? Yourself. I cannot make my kids choose to do what they want to do or not want to do. I can't even make my wife to do what she wants to do or what she does. And sometimes we blame our choices on other people, but all actuality, we are responsible for ourselves. I'm not responsible for anybody else besides my decisions. Yes, I understand. I'm responsible to win the loss and minister to those who God placed in my life. But ultimately, when it comes down standing before God, I can't blame my parents for anything. Because it's ultimately going to be my choice of what I do and how I live my life. I can't blame my wife. You know, I'd be great if I could. Well, Lord, it's my parents' fault. All actuality, they might not have been the best parents, but guess what? It's not their fault. You had a choice as an adult how you want to respond to these things. And so Paul is saying, it's for me. I'm only accountable for myself at this point. My own choices. We need to take our ownership of these choices. And then he goes, my life is already being poured out as an offering to God. Our lives is not our own. Your life you're living, it's not your life. As a believer, it's no longer yours. When you say, hey, Jesus, I will follow you, you say, hey, it's no longer me who lives, but it's who Christ who lives inside of me. And the thing about it, Paul's saying that I pour out my whole entire life as a drink offering.
See, when it comes to a drink offering, everything was poured out. There was not one drop left in the bucket. So Paul's referring to, back to the Old Testament, we would say, but he would refer to their Bible and say, you know something? According to that, when a drink offering's poured out, it's everything. There's nothing left over. There's no ashes. So you think about it, when an animal is burnt up, there's ashes left. And when wood is burned up, there's ashes. But when you pour out water as an offering, there's nothing left over. There's no reserves. It's all poured out. And when Paul's talking, he goes, hey, my life is all done. It's all yours, Lord. And he goes, it's poured out. It's a liquid offering. Everything, every aspect of my life is poured out. And then he goes, the time of my death is near. Walking through the last 5-6 months with Jean and with the diagnosis and everything the doctor said and what she was saying, she was like, you know something? I lived a life. And the choices she made, I'm like, hey, we'll support you in what you do. But about a month ago, she calls me up and she's like, hey, Pastor, I want to talk to you about some stuff. Usually when somebody calls me into the office, it's usually is never good. Because I have the principal mentality of saying, great, here I go again. I'm getting in trouble. Because the only time I saw the principal was not for an A+ on my report card. All right. But she called and said, hey, I just want to talk to you about a few things. I'm like, all right. So I went over there and her daughters were there. And we talked and she goes, you know something? I'm ready to go. Oh, okay. Go where? She goes, I'm ready to go home. I'm like, all right. And she goes, this is what I want for my funeral. This is what we're going to do. And so I'm like, okay, that's all right. So I'm taking notes. And she's like, hey, death is almost here. This is the interesting about Paul. Paul sometimes takes words that's only used once in the Bible, and this is what he does this time. This is the cool part. But Jean knew time was running short. As much as we wanted to keep praying for healing and all that, and we did up till the time of her saying, hey, I'm out of here.
She knew. I've been in this situation with dozens of people in my life as a pastor of when they know that, hey, God is calling me home soon. And you're looking at them like, no, you got life still to live. But they know without a shadow of a doubt, it's coming soon. And so Paul used the word. And he's Paul's saying that God has a plan. My plan and his plan is done. You ever think about it? His plan is done. For Jean's life, what God has orchestrated for her to carry out, the plan is done. How cool is that? Your plan isn't done. There's still more for you to do. And we get to talk about that here in a few. My plan, for God's plan for my life is not remotely done yet. I got too much to do. I got too much energy to be slowed down. There's way too many souls that need Jesus in this city. I got too many more miles to run in this city. Too many more mornings to wake up and put 3 to 3.5 miles in of praying and seeking Him. I got way too much to do. I know my plan is not done. God's plan for my life is not done. And so Paul is writing here and he goes, here we go. Death. We in American culture, we say, well, we don't like dealing with death.
We don't. Because there's some talk finalizing, it's done. There's nothing else we can do. But Paul is writing, yes, death, it is done. But there's more to it than you see.
And so when he's writing this word, people will use words like, well, we lost them. I didn't lose anybody.
I know right where jeans I have today. I didn't lose her. You guys didn't lose her. God didn't lose her. She's in heaven rejoicing. See, the thing about it, we don't have to lose people. We know where they're at. It's not, in our eyes, death is final physically, but it's not final eternity. And so the thing about it, here he is. Paul's writing and goes, here we are. And then we'll use, like, they passed away. What did they pass away? No, they died. It's just, we don't like using it because we've tried to soften things. Well, they went on. God just needed another angel. God's not making any more angels. He made enough angels. He doesn't need us to be an angel. I'm a saint. Did you know that when you come to know Christ, you are now a saint?
Think about that. Hey, aren't you glad your name is not Bernard? Think about that for a moment. You're a Saint Bernard. So he used this Greek word, though only occurring once in all the Bible. It entails sacrifice. It talks about exiting. Talking about being a pilgrimage. It talks about resurrection. That's what all this word encompasses. It turns the shadow of death. Remember how David said, I walk through the valley shadow. It's only a shadow of death. And Paul is saying the word I'm using is, it turns the shadow of death into a doorway opened by Christ. And it's an inviting to every believer to serve faithfully until the honor, to the hour of joyful departing. So Paul is saying, it's not a sad thing when I'm gone off to Christ. It's actually, the door's open. Jesus' arms out for me. And it's a joyful occasion. And even Paul says, don't mourn like the world, but mourn with hope. That we know Jesus is coming back and we get to see fellow believers. Think about it. Yeah, we can mourn. We will cry and those things. But the thing about it, she went from a closed door to an open door and she says, come on home. And it's
God opened that door
and went from a suffering to a joyful departure. A joyful departure.
Well, should we have balloons and clowns? Can have it at my funeral. I want balloons and clowns. I want it to be a fun celebration. You can even have a petting zoo. I'm fine with that.
But the thing about it, it's a joyous occasion. She is free, dancing on the streets of gold. Then Paul continues, goes, my death, this exciting time, Paul's basically saying, is at hand. He goes, I fought a good fight. In other words, he contained. He contended. The good fight is for the gospel. It's not something physical, but a spiritual fight, contending.
It's a contest. See, the thing about when we were born into a race. We were born into this thing between good and evil.
And we can either contend and fight and keep the faith, or we can throw in the towel and say, oh, it's not worth it. You ever want to throw in the towel in a reconstruction project?
If you haven't, it must be very short. Because there's times when in your midst of this remodel and you're like, oh, I'm just done. But if you wait and you get through it, there's great rewards at the end. You don't have to go down the steps into the regular floor to use the restroom at 2 o'clock in the morning. But here he goes, the contest, with all the inherent hindrances, with everything that's coming against me,
All the struggles, all the dangers, all the annoyances, all the obstacles, everything that's standing in the way of my faith, I kept on fighting. I didn't let this get me down. I kept on sharing the gospel. Because I fought the good fight. Then it goes, I finished the race. This is the cool part. He goes, finish. Just like any race, the starting point is usually the ending point. Car races, there's an oval track most of the time, like some car races. Sometimes they go through the streets. But where they start is where they finish, right? You run a mile, you start where you finish. When I ran my only race so far, last Thanksgiving in Illinois, we started where we finished, and we finished where we started. And so that's what Paul's saying, as I have finished this race, as I bring it to a close, he goes, I did my race. And the thing about it, this race isn't just a one, it's just not yourself running it. It's actually a relay race. Think about it. That's what Paul's saying. This race is not on your own. You're running it with other people who aren't on your team. Anybody remember relay races in high school? You have that baton. You got one person running and you're waiting for the other person to come. And so you're like, I never ran a relay. I was too slow. These short legs, you know, they don't move as fast as people with longer legs. It's kind of frustrating. And then they put things in your way like hurdles. And people are just flying over them. You're like, they're taller than my waist. How can I jump over that thing? I'm not that nimble, not that quick. I can't even jump over a candlestick. But the thing about it, here's Paul. He's saying, I ran my part of the race. Timothy, I'm going to give you the rest of the race. We're going to do this handoff. I want to give it to you. You're going to take over. You're going to run the rest of this race. And when Timothy gets close to his death, he's going to hand off his baton to whomever. And then from there, he's going to hand it off to somebody else. See, the thing about it, your job is to work yourself into a job that you're continuing to handing off batons. See, when I die, I will have 3 batons to hand off, minimum. One to my daughter. Say, hey, daughter, keep going. Keep going after Jesus. Death is not final. Because it even says, death, where is your sting? Because Jesus conquered it. I have a baton for her. Say, hey, keep going. Keep going after Jesus. And she's married and her kids and her husband. I have another baton for my son. Hey, son, there's souls out there who needs Jesus. Go after them. It could be tomorrow. It'd be like, hey, if I'm going to heaven, take these batons because I'm done with my race and you get to run them. See, Jesus is done. She's got batons for you and you and you. Say, hey, keep going after Jesus because guess what? Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. My third one, if my wife's still around, I'm going to give her a baton and tell her, hey, keep going after Jesus. If I have grandkids, I'll pull out their batons. Hit them on the head first. Because that's the type of grandpa I'm going to be. Picking on them. Harassing them. Sugaring them up and sending them home. I can't wait. Because my kids will say, you never gave us sugar. Yeah, I did. Your mom just didn't know about it all the time. She does eventually find out. We're good. But we run this race. And Paul goes, as I ran this race, as I went through obstacles, you remember the steeple chase where they have to jump over things into water, or cross country race where you go through things, it's not flat land, it's up and down, everything. Because you know why? Because a race It's not always on a straight surface.
I started this spring running 3 miles. And the Lord goes, ah, that's for wimps. You ever have God call you a wimp?
I have many times this summer.
And then so all of a sudden he goes, do 5 miles.
I'm like, all right, I can add 2 more miles. It won't be that big of a deal. It'll just take me an extra 20 minutes or so to get it done. And we're good.
And so I'm running about 2 months ago,
he goes, do 10 miles. Huh? I'm just doing 5, Lord. I don't want to do 10.
So August 19th, I went and ran my 10 miles. That was a long day. Long run. And before I ran it, he goes,
I get done and I went back to 5 miles. And all of a sudden he goes,
you're a wimp. I'm like, what? I'm not a wimp. I did this. He goes, no. Up it to 7 miles now. 7? All right. So we started running 7 miles. He goes, you're still a wimp.
I'm like, I don't want to do 10 more.
I really don't. He goes, you're avoiding hills. If you know anything about running, hills are not your friends. Especially when you're trying to run up them when you're in like the 4th or the 5th mile. You're like, ah! It slows you down, actually. It doesn't give you confidence that you're doing good. He goes, do more hills. Do hills. Do some cross-country running. So my 7 miles now includes hills. I'm running out on the property that's not the flattest thing in the world. And things like that. And yeah, he's still saying, there's still more that you have to give. Because when you run a race, it's not about ease. It's about pushing through to get farther and to build up these things. And Paul says, I ran this race. I remain faithful. I can guarantee you, Jean remained faithful to the end, to her Lord. Not once did I ever hear her complain, like, woe is me, the Lord hates me. Not once. She kept the faith.
We had a great celebration the Friday before she passed away. She goes, with my walk with Jesus, I stay for faith. And then, as Paul is wrapping up this little bit, he goes, and now the prize awaits me. I hate doing something without no reward. Let's be honest. We're running 7 miles, it's okay. But my reward is like, I'm done.
A year ago, I ran a race down in Illinois, and my prize was a t-shirt. I was running for that. I mean, we raised money for the food bank. Just like this year over in Castle, we're now I got my 2 kids, myself running. And my prize is another shirt. I'm raising money for the food bank. See, about a year ago, after I ran that race, my daughter goes, I don't want to do that. I'm like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
At least that's what I was thinking to myself. But now she's ready to do it. My son, who does biking at least 7 miles a day to raise money. And I guarantee you, not every day he gets up in the morning and goes, yes, I get to go biking 7 miles today. Yay!
Do you, son? All right. But when he's biking, you know what God reminds him of? These young boys and young girls who are trapped in slavery, whose bodies are being abused. He goes, I'm doing it. And when I get done, my reward might not be something I can put as a crown, but my reward is to see somebody set free. That's what he wanted to do.
Why do we gather? Why do we have revival meetings and services like that? Why? Because at the end, I can say one person's been delivered. One person's been saved. People have been healed. People have been set free. That's the reason why. It's not for I can have more work to do. Trust me. I got enough to do right now. But the thing about it, I'm not complaining. The thing about it, we do it not for my glory. We do it for God's glory, to show what God's doing. And there's a prize that awaits us. You know something? Our prize is a crown of righteousness.
But you know what we're going to do with that crown? You know what we're going to do with it? Does anybody know?
We're going to throw that thing on the ground.
You think about it. We're going to get something for walking with Jesus and running this race. And he goes, oh, welcome. Here's your crown. Ding. Here's your crown. Ding, 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 ding. We get these crowns. And then all of a sudden we go worship God. And guess what we're going to do with the crowns? We're going to take, this is nothing compared to the presence of God when we get to heaven. How awesome is that? We're going to see people running around with crowns. Ah, oh, they haven't been in the presence of God yet. Throw that thing on it, because it won't matter. Because it's not our righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness in us. And righteousness is just doing the right thing that Christ wants you to do. It's an eternal blessedness. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul's writing again. He goes, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs our walks? If you sign up for a race, you expect to show up and race. But only one person gets the prize. He's talking about the physical race now. I know I'm not going to win next Thursday turkey trot and cast. Okay? I'm not that fast. If you ever see me run, you're just like, oh my, is that guy okay? He's not moving too quickly today. No, I'm not. But he's not talking about that. He's going to take it from the physical aspect to the spiritual aspect really quick. He goes, run the race as if you're going to win. I'm trying to train as if I'm going to win that race. I want to sign, I want to believe I'm going to be the first one across the line, even though I might not be. Or the fastest one, because of the way they have the time. I want to be the fastest person. I want to train. See, boxers don't train so they can get their face beaded in. They train to beat the other person's face in, and they get knocked out on them. That's the whole, I mean, they're not training, well, I want to train to get beat up. No! They're training to beat up the other person and knock them out. And so he goes, I run to win. Then he goes, all athletes are disciplined in their training. You ever met an athlete who's not disciplined? Besides looking at me. But most athletes, one reason why most people do not become NBA stars, NFL stars, etc., etc., because they're not willing to put in the time for their bodies. See, whatever you really desire, that's what you're going to put your time into. You want more of God, you're going to put your time into it. If you want to this or that, that's what you're going to put your time into. See, they do it to win the prize that will fade away. But we do it for eternal prize. We do the things that God asks us to do for eternal prize. See, the thing about it, back then, they would get a crown. That's a good word for it. Yeah, crown. They would get this crown that was made of freshly cut vines and stuff. You ever chop off a branch off a tree? What happens to it? It dies. Right? Unless it's regrafted and all that. We're not going to get into that part. So they make a crown that will perish. And they're running. They're doing, I mean, just like the football and baseball and hockey and basketball, they're all going for this trophy. Guess what? You know what's going to happen to that trophy? It's just going to sit there in a trophy cabinet. It's going to collect dust. People were talking about, hey, remember back in the day? It's been 80 years. I mean, Vikings don't have anything to talk about. Like, back in the day, hey, we almost won. You know, then you got the Twins.
We won it back in 89 and 91. Wow. That's way before my kids were born. They have two trophies that are sitting idle that doesn't mean a hill beans. Eternity. The Timber Dogs, well, we won't mention them.
And then you have the hockey team, been around for, 25 years, never made it to the Stanley Cup. The Timber Dogs, over 35 years, never made it to the Stanley Cup. Obviously, but to their trophy, the World Cup or whatever they call it. You know, you have soccer, World Cup. Only one nation can win that.
If you don't win it, you get fired. They're going for things that don't matter.
We need to go for things that matter. Like lost souls. The presence of God. More of Jesus.
And Paul's saying, run. Train your body so you can have eternal rewards. And so Paul's writing in verse 26 here. He goes, so I run with purpose every step. Every time I put these shoes on.
These are my running shoes. Every time I put them on.
I have to make a choice how far I want to go.
And sometimes the first mile is horrid. I leave my house. And I run towards the South Road. Then I run up by the cafe. And if I can get through the first mile without turning back, I'm doing good. I thought you liked running. Yeah, I like the ending. I like where I started from. I like the ending. But every step I take, it's more time I get to be with Jesus. More steps I can pray and worship God.
See, these shoes had seen better days. There's still a lot of miles still on.
But every time when I take them off,
I thank God that I can run.
That I can buffet my body to draw closer to Him. Well, can you do that in the closet? You ever see me? I'm horrible about sitting still, standing still. I'm not created to just... At times, I love to just walk, okay? But man, if I'm praying at my house, oh, the dishes need to get caught up. All right, I'll do the dishes and pray. Oh, I need to do this and that. No. I need to get out and
be with God. Walk and talk with God. Every sunset I get to see, I thank God. And this morning it was cold.
Okay, now it's cold as snow again. But I'm thinking, Lord, can you make this winter a lot milder?
Like maybe like a Florida winter this year? I'll be fine with that. He's just laughing at me. But I don't want to do things as shadow boxing. I want to do things to take out the enemy. See, I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should do. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified.
Paul's saying, I need to keep in the presence of God. I need to keep praying. I need to keep fasting. I need to keep worshiping. Because if I, as a preacher, Paul's saying,
and I miss out on what God has,
what type of example am I? If I don't pray, what type of example am I? If I don't worship on my own, what type of example am I? I'm not a good example. And Paul's saying, I need to keep doing these things.
Because I don't want to be disqualified. Because I know too many preachers who will be disqualified because their faith in Christ is no longer. They embraced a theology that's not of God. But I want to tell you one thing. We're going to run this race together. We're going to go after people. Go after lost souls. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep adding names. We're going to believe for greater things are yet to come. For Living Water Church. For Dodge Center. For Dodge County. I'm believing for greater things. Because I know what God says. This house shall be full.
and not just for special occasions, but all the time. Us four and no more is not good, because we need to enlarge our ark so God can do greater things. He's not done. Your race is not done. That's the great thing about it. Your race isn't done. So what's your race? So that baton that you have in your hand, what does it say to do? Run faster. Run harder. Run smarter. What does that baton say? What is God asking you to do now? Why? He hasn't spoken to me. Okay, what's the last thing he told you to do? What is the last thing he asked you to do? See, sometimes, well, God would never tell me what to do. Yeah, he would. He's God. Because he knows what's best for you. You ever tell your kids what to do? Huh? Yeah. Why? Because when they're 4 or 5 years old, they don't know what's best for them. But now when they're older, hopefully they know what's best for them. And sometimes you still need to tell them what to do. Eat your vegetables. You can't make me, Mom. I'm 52 years old. But God will tell us what to do because we're his kids and he knows what's best for us. I don't want people to tell me what to do. Well, that's what Satan said too. God, you can't tell me what to do. I want to do my own thing. We got to get out of the kingdom. We have to watch our attitude when it comes to God. I have to watch my attitude when it comes to God. Because sometimes I'll tell God, I don't want to do that. He goes, too bad, wimp. Get hit those heels. There's one heel in town I absolutely hate. Absolutely. It's just north of the North Park. It's on the gravel road. It's a horrible hill to run up. Some days I haven't hit it yet this year. I know it's on my list to do. Because why? We have to continue to push forward. Physically, yes. Spiritually, yes. And guess what? It's going to be great. Tonight's going to be great. Guess what? The Vikings will play at noon. The Packers are done by 3. And the thing about it is, your favorite football team, you know what you can do? Turn them off and still come to church. Well, I want to watch Gilligan's Island again. He's shipwrecked. He'll get off the island. You'll be fine. Don't miss out running the race. Run it well. And God's going to reward you greatly. And when you get that reward, it won't matter because the presence of Jesus. Awesome. We're going to pray. And then we're going to sing one song.